Hey, Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the FalconCast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. I'm your co-host, Jay Adams. Joining me, as always, Daniel Cox.
Hey.
See, he's here.
Yes.
Before we get rolling here on the podcast, I just want to warn you and apologize that I am dealing with some upper respiratory issues that may make my voice at times sound like that of a young boy going through a special time in his life. My voice has been cracking.
Special time. You still have your green tea?
No, I got rid of that. That was just
just
awful. I'm all for the, like those things that can help you feel better, but man, if they taste terrible, I can't do it.
Sometimes you gotta fight through stuff like that, Jay.
Yeah, not me though. That's not for me. That's not that fight stuff's not.
I mean, it's a choice. You know, you either want to feel better, green tea, or
yeah. But look at all the medicines I've got.
I saw the shots earlier.
Cough drops. I've got cough medicine or cough syrup. I've got cough pills. I'm all set. I'm good.
Okay. And
green tea's got nothing on that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I apologize ahead of time. I will likely be as raspy as anyone could expect during this podcast. So. That's enough on my particular illness. I will be I'm listed as probable for Sunday's game.
Yes.
So that's all that matters. All right. So
I'm full participation this week.
Of course you are. You always are.
Yes.
You always are. I'm a little limited today, but we'll make it through.
All right.
All right. So let's talk about this briefly. We'll touch on this 24-17 win over Washington. Just another game where things get a little interesting and the Falcons fight through and are able to make it work at the end. Another comeback for this team, and I think it's another one of those confidence-building games where you know that, we're facing some adversity, but we've got what it takes to fight back and win.
Yeah, it's the guys have said it all week. They've been asked various questions about being 5-0 and not cockiness, but buying into some of the hype that they're hearing, all those things that you expect once a team starts like the Falcons have. But they've said, we feel they haven't said lucky to be 5-0, but they say, we feel good to be 5-0 and know that we've made so many mistakes and mistakes that could have cost us ball games. The last two games in particular, it could have gone either way. And they recognize that, so they really, it allows them to stay motivated and stay focused, and find some of those details that went wrong in those games, and they're working on those. So they feel like it could have gone the other way, but on the other hand, it does do something for your confidence when teams continue to see themselves find ways to win, and I think that's what they did on Sunday.
Yeah, and it reminds me a lot of that team in 2010 that kept making things interesting in the end but was still able to find ways to win. I think there's no reason to be concerned that the Falcons in 2012 are that same team, because I think the couple extra years help with getting through those games and learning how to win the game. I think that's what you really take from the last two games the Falcons have. I think coming up this week, however, is a matchup that, boy, on paper it really looks like the Falcons could be, I don't want to say the word blowout, but
yeah.
I mean the Falcons on paper probably should be at least two scores better than this Oakland team. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what. That's the media is always interesting, and it's fun to observe how they interact with the players. They say things like that, and the players, of course, remind everyone, well, this is the NFL, and these guys are professionals too, and they're still great athletes and they're great football players. So there's a lot of reasons why the Raiders are ranked in the league the way they are and have played the way they have. They've had a lot of injuries for one thing. Especially on offense, they've kind of struggled with some things. But, they were a pretty decent team last year, and there wasn't a lot of turnover. So I feel like it's like any other team, it's a matter of time before some things come together. But you're right. On paper, I'm looking at it right now, just about all their rankings for offense and defense. So obviously offense is, you know, what they are doing against other teams' defenses, and on defense what they're allowing teams to accomplish against them. And, you know, most rankings are 25th in the league or worse. You know, so on paper, yeah, it seems like it's one of those wins that should be easy, but, you know, I don't think the Falcons look at it that way. And, you know, what an awful way to lose your first game if that were the case.
Yeah, I look at this matchup and I see a team, I see an Oakland team that hasn't forced any interceptions at all this year.
Yeah. Only three sacks they've produced.
They've produced three sacks. Now, on the other side of that, they've only given up seven.
Right.
So Carson Palmer's staying upright. They're I think third down conversions, they're converting only about 28%.
Yeah. They've struggled in the third quarter.
Outscored 55-7, I think, in the third quarter this season. You know, this is a team where, you know, I listen to the radio and I listen to the NFL channel on Sirius XM a lot. And, you know, everybody's talking about the 49ers and how impressive their last couple of wins have been. And that's the other team in the NFC that that a lot of people are really paying attention to now. And I think this is a chance for the Falcons to kind of get back into that conversation where they're just dominating a team.
Yeah.
You know, look, the most complete game that we've seen out of this team was against San Diego.
Yeah.
I thought that was a phenomenal game. Proved a lot to this team against a very good opponent.
Yeah, quality opponent.
You know, but I think this is one of those games where you've got a chance to kind of make a little bit of a statement and say, you know, okay, yeah, we're two or three scores better than this level of opponent.
You know, and you look at the last game the Raiders played, they're coming off a bye, so, you know, they have an advantage in some way in that regard. You know, an additional week to self-scout themselves, as we hear a lot about, as well as prepare extra for the Falcons. But, you know, their last game was against the Broncos. They lost 37-6. So, you know, think about how the Falcons played the Broncos. You know, again, it's one of those things you want to bite your tongue when you say, oh man, this.
But it's in any given Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
There goes my voice. It's in any given Sunday league, you know, where look, you know, when San Francisco went, of course, the big surprise of the year has been the Vikings and how well they've done. But, you know, when the Niners went into Minnesota, I mean, they didn't expect they expected to win by two scores.
And that's true.
Obviously, that's a much different situation. But it is an any given Sunday league, and that's kind of – there's a lot of parity. Oakland could find something that clicks, and this could be a game where – maybe there's something that they do really well that the Falcons have a weakness in that they can exploit, and who knows. You know, we'll get into that a little bit more as we continue here on the podcast, but wanted to let you know about a couple of historic pieces that are kind of involved in this game. Coach Smith has the opportunity to get his 50th win as a head coach with the Falcons, and Tony Gonzalez won one touchdown catch away from 100 touchdown receptions for his career. Both very big marks that could fall on Sunday.
Yeah, and Coach's 50th win will make him the winningest coach in Falcons history. He's tied with Coach Reeves with 49 right now. And that's I think the most impressive thing to me about that is that he's accomplished this in you know, if the Falcons win on Sunday, it'll be six games into his fifth season with the Falcons. That's winning a lot of ball games.
Pretty good
work,
That's pretty good work.
Yeah, and that's something to be really really proud of. And you know, I wrote a little bit about it yesterday on the website, and you know, asked a couple of players about it. You know, Coach, he's so funny, but he refuses to talk about it, which is understandable. You know, but I think deep down, you know, these guys, and they don't want to talk about it a lot either, but I think they'd be really, really proud to get Coach Smith that honor, and I'd love to see him at the top of that list and just continue to add wins and wins and wins. So I definitely it's a great he's an outstanding coach. He really is.
Yeah, I think when the time does come, when all is said and done, he's going to be setting a mark here in Atlanta that won't soon be broken after that. That's for sure.
No.
All right, let's get on to buy, sell, or watch the market. We've changed up buy or sell. We hope that doesn't offend too many of you this week, because was it last couple of weeks or just last week that
last
we were
week
watching the market?
Yeah.
All right, because we're just both going to sit on the fence.
Yeah, sitting on the fence, and refusing to make decisions.
Very indecisive here on the Falcon Cast. All right, so let's go with our first topic. Darren McFadden is the most dangerous running back the Falcons have faced. A run D giving up 142 yards per game is going to have a long day on Sunday. Daniel, do you buy, sell, or do you watch the market on that one?
I sell it. First of all, I sell. I'm not convinced that he's the most dangerous running back the Falcons have faced. Jamal Charles may have a lot to say about that, but Darren McFadden is extremely talented. A very dangerous running back. Coach Smith was saying yesterday, not only is he fast, but he's a guy that'll run right through you as well. So he's a unique running back in that regard as well. But he's had an interesting season. He's only rushed for 100 yards once, and that was against Pittsburgh of all teams. Otherwise, it's 32 yards, 22 yards, 34 yards. He's not getting a lot of opportunities, and their offensive line is maybe having some struggles as well. But against the Falcons, that could change because the Falcons have, let's be honest, have given up some yardage. But the Falcons have managed to give up those yards and still force turnovers and still done things in the passing game. And the Raiders are, again, it's going to be a situation where the Falcons offense is going to want to kind of dictate some of what the Oakland offense will do. And if the Falcons can score quickly and put some points on the board quickly, the Raiders aren't going to be able to run the ball as effectively or as often as they want to. We hear that all the time, but that's really how a football game is kind of played. There comes a point where a team can't use their opportunities or possessions to run the ball and pick up 4 yards of carry. You need to start picking up chunks of yardage. So I'm going to sell it. Maybe McFadden gets 100 yards, but I don't think it's going to be it's not going to affect maybe the outcome necessarily. I think the Falcons defense can give up those yards and still accomplish 2/3 of what they want to do on Sunday.
Yeah, I look at this team and I see a team that is struggling to sustain drives. I mean, they can't they're not converting third downs the way they want to. Which is taking away those opportunities for McFadden. I think if you're the Raiders, I mean, he's easily your most dangerous player. I don't know that they've done the things offensively that they want to do to give him the chances to be that dangerous player. So I think I'm going to sell this as well. I think the Falcons can give up the yards like you said. But I really look for them to look at this game to get on track as far as stopping the run goes. It wouldn't surprise me if they were able to keep McFadden under 50, like those past couple of games. He's had a very inconsistent year.
Yeah.
They're getting Darius Hayward Bay back, to full strength. He's dealing with a concussion earlier in the season. So that kind of plays into it a little bit, too, when your best receiver is kind of back. It's one more thing for you to worry about, but I really feel like the Falcons are focused on fitting the run right now and fitting it the right way, and we could really see that in this game. So I'm going to sell that the defense is going to have a long day this Sunday.
All right.
Tony Gonzalez is rethinking his decision to retire. He said it was, boy, I've heard the 20 different percentages, 95.
I went back and checked.
95%. 95?
Yes.
Okay, we're at 95. It changes all the time, depending on who you talk to. But Tony Gonzalez is rethinking his decision to retire, buy, sell, or watch the market.
Okay. My heart says watch the market, but my head says sell it. I really don't think. First, if you spend time with Tony Gonzalez, and I don't spend private time with him, but you know, in the locker room after practices, you talking to him, hearing him speak to the media and things like that, you start to understand a little bit about him. And I feel like he's a guy that wants to go out on top. And certainly, if the Falcons were to win the Super Bowl, I think it's case closed. He's done. But I feel like. Regardless of that outcome, I think he still wants to be one of the best players when he leaves. He doesn't want to fizzle out. He wants to leave what many would still consider his prime. And the guy is playing outstanding football right now. But I just feel like I don't think he's going to change his mind. I know he said, you know, he even told Peter King that again on Sunday afternoon for Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback column. On SportsIllustrated.com, he said, "Hey, you know, that's why that 5% is still there. You know, I'm leaving the window open, I guess. But you know, he's like, get back to me later on in the season. But I just feel like I don't feel like he's going to change his mind. I wish he would. Coach Smith said he wished he would too, and I know Matt Ryan would say the same thing. But I feel like this is his last season." So I truly sell that, but deep down inside, I wish I could watch the market on that.
Yeah, I am going to watch the market on that just because we've heard it a couple of times before that this is the last year, this is the last year, and he comes back for one more. And, you know, like you said, if the Falcons end up going to that final game and end up winning that final game, and that's a big if, and, you know,
yeah,
we're all focused on what's right now. But
absolutely.
This is way down the line.
But, yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, that's the goal of this team. But, you know, if that were to happen, I would see him walking away. But the level he's playing at, I mean, the last game, what, 13 catches?
Yeah.
123 yards. I mean, it really impressive day, and that's a guy at 36 years old who's still getting the job done.
17th oldest player in the league.
And the other ones are kickers, right?
Most of them. Yeah, I mean, like Ray Lewis is up there. Takiyo Spikes is in that list, too. I mean, there's some guys, but, you know, there's solid guys, too, but there's not a lot of players playing on a level that Tony Gonzalez is playing, you know, in that list of guys.
Yeah, I think it's a little too early to be saying one way or another if he's definitely going to come back or not, but I'm just going to watch the market on that one.
Okay.
All right. Last question here in buy, sell, or watch the market, which doesn't quite have the same ring as buy or sell, I will say. The Falcons aren't balanced on offense. You know, I don't know what I want to do on this one because I don't necessarily feel like balance is as important as people make it out to be.
Right.
I think if you're good at something, like you do it. Like the Saints a couple of years ago. What were they good at? They were really good at passing the ball. So what does it matter if you're balanced? Like, you don't get extra points if your run attempts match your pass attempts. Like, I've never understood this.
Extra credit. Yeah.
Right. Now, look, you know, you never want to be one-dimensional so that teams can take away that dimension and then you're stuck. But and I don't think the Falcons are that team. However, I feel like the passing game is working so well right now. Matt's playing so well, finding his receivers. And you look, and there's been a different player popping up every week.
Mm-hmm.
1 week it's Roddy. 1 week it's Julio. Last week it's Tony. Like, this is, to me, a sign that this offense is working as it was designed to do, which means that if somebody is taken away, that you're making defenses pick their poison, basically. And you're saying, all right, if you want to double Julio, we're going to go to Roddy. If you're going to double Roddy, we're going to go to Tony. And that's a good sign to me that this offense is working the way it's supposed to. So, you know, when we're talking about buying or selling or watching the market on whether the Falcons are balanced or not, I honestly don't see it as that important as long as they're moving the ball effectively, they're being efficient, and they're scoring points. And those are the things they're accomplishing. So, you know, I won't even look at that stock.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, I would sell that statement. But along the same lines of what you're saying is, because I don't necessarily believe it, nor do I even think it matters. I really don't care. but here's if I'm gonna answer that or respond to it, I'm gonna say, you know, like kind of like you said, you know, the Falcons are taking what defenses are doing. And the guys have said almost every game they've seen different looks from a defense. So defenses are beginning to try various things to stop them. I think early on, and I heard this, I don't remember who said it yesterday, but I heard it yesterday, a player was saying, you know, early on in the season, the defenses were committing extra guys to stop the run. Like, almost like they had not believed some of the things that had been said in the offseason about maybe passing the ball more and being a little more vertical offense-oriented. And they were committed to stopping Michael Turner on the run. And they shut that part of the game down a little bit. And I think that's kind of continued to happen over the course of the season. Last Sunday, the Falcons ran the ball 34% of the time. So that's a 70-30 or whatever, I think, percentage. But basically, the Falcons are doing what works every Sunday based on how they perceive the defenses to be covering them. And so far, the passing game is beating the defense the best. And it's funny. I keep hearing, like, Tony was double-teamed. Roddy was double-teamed. How many guys are on the field at the same, on the defense? I mean, there's 11 last time I counted, right?
Yeah, you need 15 to stop this offense.
So, that's a concern of mine. But, it's a great place to be when you have so many guys that you keep hearing things like that, like Julio's going to get doubled and Roddy's going to beat the defense. I don't think the run game matters quite like it does. Maybe in past years or where we've heard, defense and my running game win championships or whatever. I don't think that's quite the same thing anymore. And Coach Smith has been quick to say in the last couple of days, we've run the ball when it mattered most. When we needed it the most, we ran the ball. In the fourth quarter of the last two games, Michael Turner has been running the ball very effectively. And I think that's half the plan as well. So, balance, whatever.
That's going to be your stance on this, is balance, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this transitions really well into our Twitter questions as my voice continues to deteriorate here on the FalconCast podcast.
Hang in there, Jay. Hang in there.
Hanging in there. All right. So, Brian O'Hearn on Twitter asks, do you think that Matt Ryan throwing more is due to saving Turner for January or just how our team is evolving? You know, I really don't think there's any pre-thought to how much Matt is throwing. I think, the defense is going to dictate what our offense does. And we knew coming into the season that Turner's carries were going to be fewer. So I don't think this is any surprise. It's probably more of how the team is evolving. Obviously you want to have Michael Turner fresh and ready for January should the Falcons be in that position. But I don't think it's a conscious effort to throw more passes as opposed to run the ball simply because you want Michael to carry the ball less and take fewer hits during the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah. The Falcons are taking this one game at a time. I heard on the radio this morning, Harry Douglas was interviewed and they were asking him about his bye week. And he said, I haven't given that any thought because I'm thinking about the Raiders this week. And I thought that was such a perfect answer. And he didn't even – it's not like it was canned. It wasn't – he literally meant that. It just came out of his mouth. So I don't think there's a lot of thought necessarily for January and Michael Turner. I think there's a thought of keeping Michael Turner healthy over the course of the season and maybe some of the reduction in his carries in that regard. But I don't think there's a conscious decision to run the ball less. I don't feel like, and again, Matt's calling a lot of the plays. I'm sure we don't have numbers on this because we're not in the huddle or whatever, but I'm sure there's a play called, and then, we see the no huddle, we see what's happening. Matt's adjusting the call. He's not adjusting it because he's selfish and he wants to pass the ball more, like it's his favorite thing to do. he's just trying to win the ball game, So I just feel like it's an evolution, to answer Brian's question. It's an evolution of the offense, and I don't think there's any conscious decisions or statements on Michael Turner It's just kind of how the offense is going right now, and it's still it's a passing league. We hear that more and more, and there's a reason for that. So I think the Falcons are just maintaining their competitiveness by passing the ball more, or Matt throwing the ball more. But again, I'm going to speak to the fact that Michael Turner's been running the ball strong in the fourth quarter, and that's just truly when he needs to be at his best. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, next question from Dr. Cherry C.
What doctor?
A good doctor checks in. The Falcons don't always get respect from others. Is this an incentive for you or the team? How does this impact you?
You know, and I think she meant you and I specifically, Jeff.
Yeah, it doesn't affect me.
Yeah, and I think it's important to say that because I hear so much about, the Falcons, they're not getting any love from NFL Network.
Man, we don't need love.
NFL.com. Hey, I love Jay. Jay loves me. The Falcons fans love the Falcons, and hopefully they love me. That's all I need. Hey, we're a family. We're in this together.
That's right.
Who cares about everybody else?
Yeah, I don't pay too much attention to what the national media is saying about us. Let them talk about Green Bay and Pittsburgh and the Packers and the
Who's the other undefeated team?
The Patriots and the Saints and Houston,
I think the
and
Texans.
No, let them talk about them.
I hardly pay attention to any other team in the league.
I mean, but it is really funny. It's like you're starting to see a little bit more. You know, Matt had the big story on him during ESPN's countdown.
Hannah Storm
with Hannah Storm, yeah, and which featured D Block prominently.
Yes.
Go yes. D Block.
And hey, I've seen more, NFL Network folks out here. Michael Irvin, saw him a little while, back.
I mean, they're getting the attention. It's just let them focus on other teams. That's fine. We don't need it.
Yeah.
We like flying under the radar.
Yeah. And the Falcons players, they truly don't care.
They don't care.
Yeah.
They really don't care. So it's one of those things that it doesn't impact me at all. But I think it also doesn't impact these guys at all. They don't think about that.
Yeah. If I could just say one thing to the fans again, like we've been saying, and along those same lines, let's just enjoy this one week at a time, one game. We got Oakland coming up. Let's hope for a win. Let's watch another solid ball game put together by the Falcons. Let's enjoy that. We'll move into the bye, and let's just keep going.
Yeah.
One week at a time. Let's just have a good time with this.
That's exactly.
The first 5 weeks of the season, the way we've seen it happen, doesn't happen very often. So let's just enjoy it.
That's right. All right, last question. O-Dog 87, when Corey Peters returns, do you see him starting or spelling?
Very interesting question.
Now, you may want to – let's give some context here.
Yeah.
Corey is on basically the equivalent of the PUP list.
Mm-hmm. Physically unable to perform.
Yes.
Which you would not be on that list today because you are already performing, although you're not at 100%.
I am barely making it through right now. he's eligible to come back after week six.
Mm-hmm.
And from all indication, it looks like he's going to be. Do I see him starting or spelling? I don't know. I would say, much like other returns from injuries that the Falcons have had in the past, they're going to bring him along slowly. Just because he's eligible to come back doesn't mean they're going to be, gung-ho about getting him back into the starting lineup. And especially when you've got Parade Jerry, who's playing out of his mind right now.
Vance Walker played 80% of the snaps.
Yeah, Vance is really an unsung hero right now on the defensive line, and I think people need to really pay more attention to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's having one heck of a season already. He's got two sacks. From that defensive tackle position.
Yeah.
He's playing very good football.
Jonathan Babineau's coming on strong.
Babineau's coming on strong. Of course, he had a great – he was constantly in the backfield against Washington. There's no the point I'm trying to make is there's no rush. Like Corey's a great player, and when Corey comes back and he's 100%, he's really going to add to this defense, but there's no rush to get him right back into it. And so I don't think that the coaching staff's going to take that approach where it's going to be like, okay, October 28th when we face the Eagles, like Corey's going to be starting. I don't know that I believe that will happen that way. But he's going to get some snaps and they're going to bring him along. And remember, there's the defensive line rotation, so it really doesn't matter who starts and who doesn't.
Right.
Because everybody's going to be getting in there. But Corey's obviously, you know, a great asset to the defensive line, and I think they've missed him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really nice to see guys like Vance and Parade stepping up while he's been out.
Absolutely. You know, and I think you answered that quite well, Jay.
Thank you, Dan.
If I were to say a way that maybe Peters is going to help the team or impact the team, I feel like the run defense is going to get a boost from Corey Peters when he gets back. So, but I believe you're right in that he'll be on the bottom half of that rotation, if anything, as they kind of work him in. Because, again, you got to think about the fact that as far as I recall, he wasn't participating in much of OTA's mini camp. He certainly wasn't involved in training camp. So he hasn't seen game action in a really long time. So he's going to get worked in, but I feel like he's going to impact Rundy right away. I think, you know, and I think that'll be a really good timing as well.
Yep. All right. So let's get to one more little segment we've added here. last week, you know, I'm really coming along. You can hear me, right?
You're doing fantastic, Jay.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You're doing great.
All right, so last week, Daniel and I both
this was a Twitter question.
Yes, it was a Twitter question. We gave you our players that we thought would step up and make a difference, and I guessed Tony Gonzalez.
Yes.
Who had a career game.
You must have had a crystal ball.
What did I say? I said that's exactly – he was going to be the guy who was going to be open. They were going to go to him.
You know what that means?
What's that?
That it's going to leave a lot of pressure on you.
I know.
And your statement.
Trust me, it was a fluke. I'll be the first one to admit it was a total fluke. So, and you picked
Sean Weatherspoon.
Sean Weatherspoon, who also had a very good game.
Yeah.
So –
Yeah, you know what? That's good. Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
Defensively.
I was thinking about Dante Robinson and the outstanding day he had.
Oh, he had a phenomenal game.
Wishing I'd said that.
Yeah, but all right, so what we're just going to do is give you our impact player.
Yes.
Who's your impact player?
Impact player. I'm going to go with Sean Weatherspoon again.
Oh, you can't do that.
Yes, I can.
You can't go same player twice.
All right.
Okay, no, you can. Go ahead, I'll change the rules.
Which is Oh man!
Go ahead, give me a reason.
Here's no. Okay, here we go. Asante Samuel.
Okay.
I can see, and it's about time for this. I can see a pick six on Sunday. That's a game changer, right?
But he's
there.
Not getting many looks. You know, teams are not thrown to his side.
Yeah.
At all.
He's facing an old AFC guy, Carson. Well, I guess it's still in the AFC, but. Carson Palmer, I know he's seen him some, mm-hmm. been around a while, so watch out for Asante.
Okay. You know, I'm going to go with
Tony Gonzalez.
No, I'm not. I'm going to go with Julio. I think, you know, Julio obviously had that catch in the Redskins game. I think he's back. The hand isn't bothering him
absolutely.
Anymore. And I just don't – I look at this Raiders secondary, and I don't see them having an answer for him. Even if they do try to double or triple him up.
Yeah.
I think
it's going to require 13 guys.
Yeah. I think Julio's going to have a huge game. That's just my thought. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that's where we're at.
No added pressure, Julio.
Yeah, no added. none whatsoever. So we're going to wrap up this edition of the FalconCast podcast. Thank you so much for sticking with us, and hopefully we'll be back to full strength as we get into the bye week here. And get a win over the Raiders.
Absolutely.
All right, we will see you next week.